We turn to Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Genesis 18 and verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's our purpose to spend a few Sunday mornings together thinking about Isaac, and thinking particularly this morning about his birth, and going on to other parts and salient features of his life as we develop this theme. There are not many references to Isaac on his own. It's usually a matter of Isaac with Abraham. But you'll remember that one of the great titles of God in the Old Testament was that he was the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. This is what became, as it were, attached to the name of God down through the years. Not only the God of Abraham, the beginner, the foundation member, as it were, of the Jewish people, but also of Isaac, and then of Jacob, and Jacob who later became Israel, of course. We cannot pretend, really, that Isaac is of the spiritual stature of his father Abraham. But nevertheless, there are many things that we can learn, spiritual lessons, as we look through. You'll notice that Isaac comes in the gallery of heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, where we read that Isaac blessed both his sons, Jacob and Esau, leaning on the top of his staff. Very strange thing to read about in that context, and when we come to it in due course, we shall find that it has a richness about it of spiritual blessing and spiritual insight that may be hid from us as we just read the ordinary story. You remember that Abraham had left Ur of the Chaldees. He travelled away from Mesopotamia and come over into the land of promise that God had revealed. Two things which God had promised to Abraham: that he should inherit the land, and that his seed should be a tremendous nation, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And we need to remind ourselves constantly that this is still true today, that the Israel of today still inherits the promises of Abraham their father, the land, and the people. You may have remembered that God had made these promises to Abraham. God had made a promise which was a covenant. And in chapter 17 we just read that this is so, that God will bless them and will make much of them. And the days have gone by. God has come to Abraham and has said that he will have a son by Sarah. He has already had a son by Hagar, her maid. And we read in verse 17 of chapter 17, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said within his heart, Shall Sarah have a child 90 years old and I'm 100? He was unbelieving. It was beyond imagining. It was impossible. He laughed at what God said to him. And then later in chapter 18 we read that when Sarah was informed of the news, she too laughed. In other words, these people, just like us, they said, God is not able to do this. It's just a fancy, it's just a dream, it's just impossible. And so we come to the fact of the text, where God has to say to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? And here faith is to be quickened. And it is quickened. It springs into life, whereas it had been dead. Faith now rises, as it were, within the heart of Abraham and of his wife Sarah. God is going to do something. God reaffirms it. And so we look into this story and see what God would have for us to learn from an incident that took place, of course, hundreds of years ago, but is still up to date today. Because God is constantly challenging us as his people to the venture of faith which declares nothing is too hard for the Lord. First, I want you to notice here that God's purposes will be fulfilled. There is no doubt about this. This was not an accidental experience as far as Abraham was concerned. 25 years, a quarter of a century had rolled by since God had called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and he had left Haran to come into the promised land. 13 years had passed by since Ishmael had been born of Hagar, Sarah's handmaid. 13 long years. And maybe Abraham and his wife had completely forgotten that God's plan was not being worked out through this land. Perhaps they thought that God was unable to fulfill his plan, that a partial fulfillment was all that was could be expected. But you see, these years weren't wasted. Abraham had become, as it were, the friend of God. God had spoken to him about so many things. God had revealed things to him that he hadn't known before. God had led him along the pathway of life. God was bringing him to a place of deeper maturity. Shall we say that God was bringing him to the place where he could dare to trust him and dare to challenge him with a text such as this? Because this is not a text that we would apply to ourselves right at the beginning of a Christian life. Something that we need to see as we go on. As we've known God more fully, as we've experienced him more constantly, our faith grows, it matures. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the use of our faith, the operation of our faith produces more faith. And now Abraham comes to the challenge. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We've just been singing that hymn. God's purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. God's purposes will be fulfilled. Now, why do we say this? Why do we doubt this? You see, if we rightly understand God's word, and if we got God's promises, and we know God's plan, God's name is at stake. When God made the promise to Abraham of a land and of a nation, God was, as it were, risking his reputation. His name, his promise, his integrity were all laid there, and Abraham was to see the proof. God's plan was to be fulfilled. Now it may seem that God had forgotten all about it. It may seem that God had brought the thing to a place which was impossible. That the birth of Isaac stands as a monument in Scripture to the fact that God is the God of the impossible, that God is the God who keeps his covenant, his agreement, God who is the one who honors his promises. I want us to encourage ourselves and one another this morning in this fact. There is a great deal in the world which is of evil. There's a great deal that is going on that seems to give the impression that God has been defeated. People are denying God. They are speaking blasphemy without fear. People are decrying his holy word. People are pouring scorn upon his church. And behind it all, God is still fulfilling his purposes. Still fulfilling what he has set out to do. And quietly down the centuries, this has been so. When it seems impossible, God has brought the impossible to pass. We are seeing much of this as we look at the tragedy of the Middle East. We see so much that is of political intrigue, so much that is of man's sin. But behind it all, there is God's clock quietly ticking, the time quietly passing, the time which is the master plan of God unfolding in the prophetic word down through the years. God's word. Pathetic to hear on the radio this morning somebody who more or less poured scorn upon the position of God's people, the promise of God for his people to come into Israel, Palestine. For God's word is plain, and God's purposes are being fulfilled, and we've been seeing them in the years that have gone. In these last 20 years or so, we've seen God's purposes being fulfilled that seem to be impossible. And they will be fulfilled. I wonder where you share this faith. Share this faith with Abraham, who came to see it, and Sarah, who came to see it. There was unbelief in their heart at first. There is ridicule because it seemed to be a ridiculous proposition that God would produce the son that he said that they would have. But they lived long enough to see that God was right, as he always is. And we encourage our hearts today. When the Christian faith is being decried, when men of God are in a very, very great minority, when so much in the world would seem to deny it, God is still quietly behind the scenes. His purposes will be fulfilled. We're seeing this in our Bible study on Tuesdays. We're seeing how that God through the ages has been working to a plan. We're seeing how God is working to a plan today. We come to the place now where we're looking at this very age in which we live, this church age, and seeing how God is still unfolding the plan. God's ways are marvelous. God's will is absolute, and he will fulfill his way. I wonder whether you would say with me this morning, when we say, is anything too hard of the Lord, for the Lord, would you say, nothing is too hard. Nothing. Second thing I want us to notice is that God's method produces results. And here I think is something that we need to learn time and time again. God's purposes will be fulfilled because God has made a covenant with God's, his own people. There's an agreement. There is man's side to it. There is God's side to it. God made a covenant with the Jewish people Israel. Israel failed to keep the terms, and so they suffered judgment and being sent away into captivity. But the promise was still there. And for Abraham, the promise was still there. The vision of the fact that God had said that there shall be from him and from Sarah there shall be the son who was born after their powers had failed. And as you read the story, it seems that Abraham and Sarah came to conclusion earlier on, this many years back, these 13 years back, they seem to come to the conclusion that God needed help. And so there was that which we would not condone in present day morality, but which was perfectly in order so far as Abraham was concerned. A child was born of Hagar, which would count as his son. And it was his son, of course. Time had gone by, you see, and God had made a promise, and God had said, I will fulfill what I've promised. But Abraham and Sarah were convinced that the best way was to give God a hand. And when things failed, then Hagar bore Ishmael. Ishmael, by the way, is the forerunner of the Arabs. As I've said before, in the plan of God, the purposes of God, the Arab-Israel struggle is one between the rival sons of Abraham. For the Arabs hold to Abraham as their forerunner, their progenitor, the head of the Muslim religion, just as the Jewish people trace their lineage back to Abraham. Ishmael was born, and he became the one from whom the Arab races today are descended. And from the prophetic point of view, leaving out the politics of the whole thing and the rights and wrongs of the case, The Middle East situation is the claim of rival sons of Abraham to the title to their father's possessions. That is, the land of Palestine. That's reducing it to very simple terms. And it's not so easy as all that. But this is what it is, so far as the Bible is concerned. And you see, this was something that God had set aside. God had chosen Isaac as the one who he would take up. Not Ishmael, but Ishmael was to receive blessing, you'll notice. God said to Abraham in chapter 17, verse 20, "As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. I will make of him a great nation, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac." So Ishmael is to receive blessing because he's the son of Abraham. But Isaac is to receive the covenant because he's the son of Abraham and Sarah. God's methods. Now you see, here we find these two longing for God to do what he promised. And God said he would do it. So they had to wait all these years. And 13 years after Ishmael is born, God fulfills his promise in the birth of Isaac. God's method produces results just as God's will, purposes will be fulfilled. Don't you think we need to learn this lesson all over again? Don't you think we need to learn the fact that we can't achieve spiritual results by natural means? The birth of Ishmael was a natural thing. The birth of Isaac was a supernatural thing. The birth of Ishmael took place because of the energies of the flesh. The birth of Isaac because of the intervention of God's overruling hand. When God gets to work, he shows us what he can do. And too often we are so busy that we haven't got time or inclination to let God have a chance. We're too busy doing the job for him instead of cooperating with him in the things that he does. I think this is true when we look at so much that goes by way of evangelism, where so much that is put on as evangelism is wholly of man. It's man's effort, it's man's pressure, it's man's build-up. And so often the Spirit of God is not there, as a result of which the work is not a spiritual result. God's methods always produce results. We read the Word of God. We declare the Word of God. This is what produces results. You remember when Reverend Darville was here for our induction service just nearly a year ago? One of the things he said, which impressed me very much, was the fact that he knew an aged minister who had retired and who'd gone round to various churches in the course of the Sundays that he was free from preaching. And he said then, Mr. Darville said, that this man said, "Yes, I can go. I can hear plenty of sermons about the rights and wrongs of Vietnam. I can hear plenty of pulpit discussion about the rights and wrongs so far as Ireland is concerned. I can have anything as far as the political situation is concerned, but my heart is hungry, and it's hungry for the things of God, for the spiritual realities. And the spiritual realities only come when we delve into and talk together and explore in a prayerful way the Word of God. And this is what does the work." And in the churches we've got to learn this lesson again. God has laid down that the Word of God is the vehicle through which people come to know the life of God. And that life of God is produced from the Word of God by the Spirit of God. And it's a work which must wholly be of God. If you work in God's way, God's methods produce results. Last Sunday we had the joy of going back to one of my second church, that's the one in Herefordshire. And we met some of the young people that I married. And we met some of their children growing up. It made us feel rather old. But there were those who had come to know Jesus Christ after we left there. And we discovered that it was God's word that had come into their hearts and produced the results. And therefore, they are now going on. And their children are beginning to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as well under their present ministry. We need to work in God's way if we want God to bless and to bring results. I'm convinced as ever I was when I first came to you that only the preaching of the Word of God is going to produce spiritual results. God's method produces results. And when the church turns over to worldly methods, it says goodbye to spiritual blessings. We have seen God working in our midst, haven't we, in the last 10 months? When we embarked on the matter of the manse and committed ourselves to over £2,000, I said then that I believe God's way is direct giving. And today, before we've ever received any of the bills, we've got the money because God has moved amongst his people. I believe this is a divine method and it produces results. Last thing I want to say is that God's work brings joy. You'll notice how Abraham and Sarah both laughed at the announcement of a son. But you'll notice afterwards that they laughed in a different way. In chapter 21, verse 6, we read, Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. And the very previous verse says, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. They'd experienced now the power of God in their own lives. They'd experienced God working out what he said he would do, promised to do. They had seen God doing the impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God now puts it before them as an accomplished fact. Is anything too hard for the Lord was a challenge. And it was a challenge to two people who really didn't believe that God could do what he promised. But now the power of God has come upon Sarah. New life has sprung up. Laughter was in her heart, joy has flooded her soul, and Isaac is born, and you're not surprised, are you, when you discover that the name they gave to this son was laughter. The meaning of Isaac, laughter. Constant reminder, perhaps a salutary reminder to these people, to Abraham and to Sarah. Perhaps every day they looked into the face of this son and reminded us themselves of his name, laughter. Perhaps they looked back with sorrow to the day when they couldn't trust God. And then they reminded themselves that God had brought them to the position where they could trust him. And as they looked into the face of Isaac, this child of laughter, they were reminded again and again that this was the God who'd done the impossible. Good thing to treasure these experiences and to look back on them. When God has done great things, how we need to look and to say yes. It brought great joy. God's word brings joy. Sarah had received strength to conceive seed, we read in Hebrews 11. In other words, by the power of God upon her, she came and there was life born in the form of this son. And when God's work is being done by the power of God, it means that there are those who will bring life or be the means of bringing life, new life, spiritual life to others. I wonder whether we can look back at all and say now in my Christian life, I've seen with tremendous joy those who have come into new life, those who come into the experience of being born again of the Spirit. I wonder whether our faith has risen to expect this, to believe it's possible, believe it's absolutely essential, and then to be those who are in line with God's purpose and plans, so that through us he can bring others to his Son. Remember, Paul said to the Galatians that he travels in birth till Christ be formed in them. He wanted to bring forth Christ to them. He wanted Christ brought forth in them. He wanted them to be the chariot, the way by which God conveyed himself to other people, the means by which he brought new life to them. Impossible. Impossible, we say. Impossible for me to speak to other people. Impossible for me to be an influence upon others. Impossible for me to lead a soul to Christ. Impossible for me. And then you listen to the text. Impossible for you. But is anything too hard for the Lord? Good thing it is impossible for you. Otherwise you'll be doing this work in your own energy of the flesh. But is anything too hard for the Lord? And we dare not say yes to that. We must always admit that because the work of God's Spirit has taken place in our own hearts, and because we're in a place of obedience to God, it's always possible that others might come into new life through our own living, through our own testimony. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God's work brings joy. And not only is there the joy of our own personal experience, but the great joy of being used of God in the service of his kingdom. Well, these are just a few thoughts on the birth of Isaac. We're going to see some more about this man as we come together next Sunday and subsequent Sunday. Let us pray that God will open our eyes the spiritual truth, to observe again that God's purposes will be fulfilled with an unshakable faith in this, daring to believe that our hearts are going to be filled with joy as he brings new life into other hearts.